December 11th, Blessed Peter of Siena, Confessor, Third Order. Peter was a simple comb-maker of Siena, and was faithfully devoted to his work. He sanctified it by prayer and united his hardships with the fatigue of our Savior in his work at Nazareth. In his love for penance, he joined the Third Order of St. Francis, and not only observed its rule exactly, but added still more rigorous works of penance. If work piled up so that he was kept from spending more time in prayer, he would offer up his work instead. He managed always to find time for certain special devotions, which he performed each evening with his devout wife. When his wife died at an early age, leaving no children, Peter found he was free to lead a life wholly in accord with his pious wishes. He saw in the poor and the sick children whom God entrusted to his care. He shared his goods with them, visited them, comforted and nursed them in need. He continued to work at his trade, but devoted more time to prayer, even many hours of the night. He had the grace of intimate union with God and fostered special devotion to our Blessed Lady. She frequently appeared to him and treated him as a mother does a beloved son. The more intimately Peter was permitted to enjoy this heavenly intercourse, the less he conversed with men. He spoke only when necessity or charity required it. In selling his combs, he would state the price and then place his finger on his lips so as to keep from speaking unnecessarily. His price always suited his customers because they knew that his wares were good and that he never overcharged anyone. In his great love for our Holy Father, St. Francis, Peter asked the friars of the Franciscan convent of Siena for permission to live there. The friars, aware of his extraordinary virtue, arranged a cell for him. This cell became for him an abode of delight. He would spend entire nights in prayer, enjoying the company of the holy angels and their queen, of the holy apostles, and of St. Francis himself, who would instruct him and fill his soul with heavenly consolation. For a long time, Peter also had to endure apparitions and temptations from the evil spirits. Peter overcame them by his humility, and the higher he was raised by God, the more deeply did he descend in the opinion he had of himself. He confessed his smallest failings amid torrents of tears. One day he wrote out the sins and failings of his whole life, and then, for his own humiliation, he read the whole list. God gave him the assurance that all his sins were forgiven, and all that he had written and read was miraculously erased. His humble reserve never permitted him to speak when older people, priests, or religious were present, unless he was invited to do so. But as everyone knew that he was favored with heavenly enlightenment, he was frequently called on to give advice. A religious once asked him what he should do regarding weariness at prayer. He answered, "Do not on that account curtail the time allotted to it. Sometimes we gain more by patient waiting than by receiving." God wrought many miracles through his humble servant. He died December 4th, 1289. His tomb in the Franciscan Church in Siena was adorned with a beautiful marble memorial. So many miraculous cures occurred at his grave that pilgrims came there from all parts of Italy. The veneration paid to him from the time of his death was approved by Pope Pius VII. On silence. Consider how Blessed Peter acquired the virtue of silence through constant conversation with God. Familiar conversation with God dreads useless converse with men, and no sincere Christian soul loves idle talk. Moses, the friend of God, said to the Lord, quote, "Since thou hast spoken to thy servant, I have more impediment and slowness of tongue," end quote. Exodus 4:10. Silence also helps us speak with God and pray with devotion. Just as the warmth of a room gradually diminishes if the doors are left open, so will devotion leave the heart of a man whose mouth is constantly open in useless conversation. If you desire to withdraw from superfluous talking, says Thomas A. Kempis, you will find time sufficient and proper to spend in good meditations. Is your lack of devotion at prayer due to talkativeness? Consider that it is advisable to acquire the habit of silence in order to avoid offending God and man. In the multitude of words, says the Holy Spirit, there shall not want sin. Proverbs 10:19. How often are charity, truth, and justice violated, while envy, vanity, and conceit are greatly nourished by it? On the other hand, he who speaks little has little responsibility. Often people believe they are making a favorable impression on their fellow men by their conversation, whereas the opposite is the case. They become a nuisance to others. Hearing them always speaking about a third party, their hearers may justly fear that they too will be the subject of their gossip. Remember that one day you will have to give an account of every word you have uttered. Consider the merit and the virtue that can be gained by means of silence. Sacred Scripture admonishes us, "Be not full of words in a multitude of ancients." Ecclesiasticus 7:5. Interrupt not others in the midst of their discourse. Answer not a word before you hear. Ecclesiasticus 11:8. Short and simple as these maxims are, it is only by real self-control that you will be able to carry them out. But if you do overcome yourself for the love of God, it will add to your store of merits in eternity. You will learn to be modest and humble, and perceive how foolish and out of place was much of your past conversation. The heart of fools is in their mouth, and the mouth of wise men is in their hearts. Ecclesiasticus 21:29. Reflect on the beautiful example of Blessed Peter and strive to acquire reserve similar to his in your speech. Prayer of the Church. We beseech thee, O Lord, subdue the conceit of our soul by the spirit of holy humility. Thou who didst so admirably reward the humility of thy confessor, Blessed Peter, with heavenly graces, through Christ our Lord. Blessed Peter of Siena, pray for us. Thank you.